this is what you're fighting for. I mean, every day you're out there.
What they're doing is blowing people off.
If you continue to look the other way and shut up, then the oppressors, the authoritarians, get total control and total power. Because this is just like in Arizona. This is just like in Georgia. It's another element that backs them into a corner and shows their lies and misrepresentations.
This is why this audience is going to have to get engaged. As we've told you, this is the fight.
All this nonsense, all this spin, they can't handle the truth.
War Room, Battleground. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
We've already attracted nearly $700 billion in private sector investments in advanced manufacturing and clean energy, creating tens of thousands of jobs here in America. And all across the board, we're lifting up communities and workers too often left out in urban, rural, suburban, tribal communities all across the country. But folks, despite the overwhelming devastation in red and blue states, there's still those who deny climate is in crisis. Our MAGA Republican friends don't seem to think it's in crisis. They actually want to repeal the Inflation Reduction Act, which provides the funding for a vast majority of these projects, and roll back clean air protections for clean air and clean water. And I'm not going to go into it now, but I'm not making it up. It's real. Just listen to what they say. Anyone in or out of government who willfully denies the impacts of climate change is condemning the American people to a very dangerous future and the world, I might add. They want to take us backwards, sideline our workers, let China and others lead the race for clean energy. I'm determined, absolutely determined, that we move forward. We move forward. Let me close with this. In 1933, and it was referenced by the Congress lady, that when Roosevelt outlined the Civilian Conservation Corps, he said, quote, and I'm quoting, "More important than the material gains will be the moral and spiritual value of such work." He always put it in the context that went beyond just what the immediate need was. I'd say the same holds true for what we're doing here today. It has a moral imperative. And I've never been more optimistic about America's future. We just have to remember who we are. We're the United States of America. And there's nothing beyond our capacity. We work together.
Welcome to the War Room. Thank you, Steve, for tossing to me. It's Natalie G. Winters filling in for, what is it, the fourth hour of programming today, April 23rd in the year of our Lord, 2024. But I guess maybe the silver lining of living under the Biden regime is that there's never any shortage of content that we can cover and stories we got to keep you guys ahead of the curve on. And of course, we're always following the sort of environmentalist narrative to a close T. Luckily, we have Dave Walsh to come in and break it down for us. I don't really think we celebrate Earth Day in the climate change cultist sense here in the War Room, in the United Nations sponsored element of it. But we, of course, love the Earth here in the War Room. So sure, Dave Walsh does too. But it doesn't seem like the Biden regime really likes the Earth, because it doesn't really seem like they want Americans to be able to live free and prosper and have energy and really do anything. Can you walk us through some of the legislative moves that the administration, or regime, as we like to call it, took yesterday to celebrate Earth Day?
Well, we're certainly glad, Natalie, that Earth Day is behind us, but we didn't get out unscathed without several major new initiatives coming up last week and yesterday to further this cause. But I'll say, to his remarks in the cold open, mine is condemning Americans to energy devices that work 1/4 to 20% of the time only, and intermittently so, and that cost 8 to 11 times more than conventional combined cycle gas-fired power. I think that's the problem, condemning Americans to the lack of energy produced by these intermittent, very part-time solar and wind devices, along with battery storage that only operates 2 hours a day. That's the problem we're condemning Americans with, is the lack of energy in this country, significant lack of electricity. So yesterday, he came out with a more draconian announcement on Alaska, the ANWR, and all of the federal lands in Alaska, wanting to now shut, decreeing that he's endorsing and finalizing Deb Haaland's plan to stop drilling on 13 million acres of federal land in Alaska permanently. So here's the same administration that wanted to fund and did fund his funding, 60 more billion for a war in the Ukraine and now military efforts in Taiwan and with Israel, siding with Israel together in a joint massive bill that's a military bill, taking a key part of the country that, forms in part the National Reserve for the U.S. Naval backup supply of oil and gas in Alaska, and shutting down production of, 13 million acres, including the area for ConocoPhillips, formerly known as the Willow Project, that was looked like was going to be approved last year, swept under this. So we're taking a, drastic action to reduce American self-dependence on oil and gas in Alaska, in Anwar, in the Arctic, by the way, in our most productive fields. Then secondly, he came out with yesterday announced a $7 billion portion of his IRA now to be devoted to rooftop solar for needy communities to support 900,000 applicants across the country for having rooftop solar additional incentives provided through states, counties, and governments and NGOs to support individuals looking for rooftop solar, which, by the way, is about three times more costly because it's so tiny to taxpayers than the utility-scale solar, which is a huge problem to begin with. This is a gross misuse of funds when America needs an electricity increase, a drastic electricity increase in production of baseload, continuous-duty, supercritical clean coal, gas, and nuclear power that produce energy all of the time. He's messing around with massive incentives for tinker toys that work 4.5 to 5.2 hours a day only, and intermittently so. It's very, very sad. In the middle of a totally necessary energy dearth that we're running into across the country, in Texas, in California, MISO, PJM, Tennessee, North Carolina, now noted for all-in electricity shortages due to the lack of power generation coming off of this part-time stuff.
As much as we mock Earth Day, I do think it is sort of an interesting either metaphor or parallel to draw. In other words, they use, right, the pretext of a climate emergency, oh, impending doom, the hockey stick, to sort of use it as justification to implement this radical backwards, I mean, frankly, humanity last agenda. I'm just curious, sort of extrapolating it to the broader initiatives that have been pushed by the Biden regime. How do you reckon, how do you sort of make it make sense, as Steve would say, that they are pushing these policies that are just not conducive to Americans being able to heat their homes, have energy? Is there something, you know, more sinister going on here? What is the driving force behind this?
Oh, I think there is, because, Natalie, what you just said is patently obvious. This is all about making the cost of living here drastically higher for average citizens, making it much more difficult for average citizens to subsist with a shortage of electricity and a shortage of fuel, oil, and gas. So, you know, what's behind this? Here, I'm going to tell you, in the industry I spent my life's work in, power generation equipment supply, only 7 years ago, China only had about 1.5-2% of the market for that equipment. That's about a $65 billion a year market in supplying equipment that makes electricity, turbines, generators, excitation equipment, wind and solar included. China was about 2% of that U.S. market. The next 10 years, according to all the forecasts that now are only wind and solar battery storage in the main being installed and coal being shut down, China content will be 76%. Of the next 10 years electrical equipment supply for power generation. They've won. They've gone from 2% market share in this space to 75% market share. And by the way, the aggregate market value has tripled because the cost of this stuff, on average, is 2 to 3 times more per kilowatt hour generated than combined cycle gas, nuclear, and coal. It's much more costly. Therefore, the sheer amount spent in the next 10 years is going to be far higher, but on far less kilowatt annual electricity. Who's winning? China's now got 75% of that market as the main supplier of solar panels, thin film PV, inverters, and batteries for battery storage. They've won. So if you look what's behind this, in actual fact of what's happened, the results of this, that's the result. They've swept the market. They've swept the table in electrical energy supplying equipment supply. This is amazing how that this has happened in such a short time period. I think if you look at sinister, to follow the money, that's what this has resulted in. It's not about save the planet, because as we know, they're not doing this themselves. They're building 350 new coal plants as we speak in China. They're not doing this. They're making manufacturing easier to manufacture more of this stuff to sell to the West to reduce energy supply in the West and make it all the more costly in the West.
Well, I don't think it's lost on anyone. One of the Chinese companies that Hunter Biden was invested in was a firm called Yancoal, among a variety of Chinese energy companies. But just to link this to what's going on currently in the news cycle, I mean, again, you know my background is in unrestricted warfare. The Chinese Communist Party has been waging on us for decades. And one of the, I would say, main kind of fields or domains of warfare that they're doing it in has to do with energy and energy security. We know energy security is national security. But when we see what's going on today on these college campuses, right? Steve always says, don't miss the forest for the trees. It's not just about the Israel-Palestine thing. It is that you have a neo-Marxist class of people who are running those institutions, running those universities. And I don't think it should be lost on anyone that so much of the academic backing, right, the institutional support for this kind of climate change ideology is emanating, is coming from higher education, right, is coming from these colleges. How much do you think, whether it's the foreign money that's flowing into these universities or just how have they sort of helped shape the discussion, shape the narrative to really get us to a point where Joe Biden can push these America Last energy policies, yet simultaneously, you know, earn praise from that kind of sector of the political sphere who is just so intensely committed, devoted to this climate change cult?
I'm not pausing to be an expert in everything, but I was a trustee at the second largest university in the country for 5 years here in Florida. The amount of research money that comes from our federal government and global governments on, let's say, proving the point of man-caused climate change as solution-driven research, that is, we have the conclusion in the first place, and we want to build a factoid base to support the conclusion we have already, funded by the U.S. government and foreign governments, is huge. It's huge. It dwarfs any funding of natural gas, oil and gas, coal-fired nuclear energy projects, for example. So narrative-based funding in these institutions and the notorious left-wing management of them is a fact of life. I personally, with my background in doing what I was doing as a trustee, was not surprised at all by the reaction of most liberal institutions, and most of them are across the country, on the topic of Hamas and Hezbollah when the invasion of Israel occurred last October. Did not surprise me. That's where these guys are coming from on their belief set of geopolitics in the world in major universities across the country. No surprise there. So to your point, the conclusion-driven research is supposed to be about, hey, let's look at something and let's see where the facts take us, not start with a conclusion, for example, on global warming being man-caused. There are numerous eminent scientists in the country who actually are housed at a couple of these places, Princeton and MIT, most notoriously, who have taken and who have won Nobel Prizes, who are saying in unison, no, this whole narrative is a false one. And if you do get into real science, it's easily proven to be the case on the notion, for example, of man-caused global warming. But that's not the only thing across the board of ESG topics that these institutions promote aggressively and brainwash their incoming on, you know, these are facts of life where they're not.
Dave, if people want to follow you, keep up to date with all your analysis on all things, where can they go to do that?
You can reach me on Getter at Dave Walsh Energy and Truth Social the same. Thank you, Natalie.
Of course. Thank you for joining us. And happy Earth Day. Only 364 more days to go. Our next guest is another one of my favorites, Colonel John Mills. He always brings the presentations, the slides that I love from an aesthetic perspective. But on topics that I don't love from an aesthetic or geopolitical or national security perspective, and that is Chinese Communist Party election interference. I also want to get into what's happening in Niger with you. But before we go there, you had a wonderful piece that I just loved. I believe it was originally published in the Epoch Times, cross-posted to Gateway Pundit, and made the rounds on how the Chinese Communist Party waged active information, psychological, you could even in some ways say kinetic warfare in Taiwan around their recent election. And you sort of, you know, were raising the red flags, the warning signs about how they could potentially do similar things here in the United States, and more importantly, how the Taiwanese government combated it. So can you walk the audience through that piece a little bit, and then we can maybe get into on the other side, you know, how we should look at it here in the United States and sort of counter it?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Natalie, so much. So I went to a press conference at the National Press Club by Taiwan about the outcome of the election. And it was all about the malign fifth-generation warfare of China to disrupt the election in January in Taiwan, before, during, and after. And it was just it was an excellent session. They had five experts from a number of different organizations, private organizations, research academics, from the Taiwanese government. And they talked about like the role of TikTok, and that absolutely that was malign and intentional. And it was almost as if the TikTok influencers had been handed a script. And one day they were fashion experts. The next day they were suddenly election experts and did everything to sow mistrust. They also manipulated actual video footage. One of them was of Rob Whitman, Virginia First District, where they totally took what he was saying in the real thing. He was talking about Ukraine, but they manipulated his voice so that it sounded like he was talking about supporting the Green candidate, the DPP, which is that's the Make Taiwan Great Again party. So this was clearly they were trying to create hate and discontent. But one major theme that stood out was the role of the on-the-ground collaborator or insider. And they went into great detail about this. I was a bit surprised. But they provided, because you can have the best cyber influence operation, but you always need that person on the ground. It helps adjust the message. It helps tweak the message. It gives feedback and maybe even provides muscle. Now, when I was there in January, they arrested like 200 of these Chinese influencers on the ground in Taiwan. And they first did this back in January of 2020. And they had to arrest far more back then. But even this time, it was the number given was 200. Could have been more. And all of these are lessons learned for America, and especially with the great number of Chinese special operators coming across the unsecure southern border. This is the muscle for the Summer of Love 24, which has already started with all the crazies, all the Palestinian crazies in New York and other places. And now add in their on the ground provocateurs, their collaborators are those Chinese special operators. And they're also in America, they're always gravitating toward high cash operations, such as legal cannabis. A bad idea. And then massage parlors, gambling. So they actually gravitate toward those. And there's actually been a lot of Chinese on Chinese violence and murder inside the United States. But this is their on the ground collaborators. So just like in Taiwan, they had on the ground collaborators to help tweak their cyber manipulation and their TikTok message. They have a lot of special operators on the ground inside of America. That's their muscle for 2024 and the Summer of Love that has already started.
Can you walk us through a little bit more some of the other operations, whether it's the social media side of things, the actual, I always say, I know, you know, unrestricted warfare, they prefer infiltration as opposed to invasion, but I think you could have a serious discussion about whether or not what's going on at the southern border constitutes some form of, right, kinetic warfare in some sense of the term. But do you see any other instances of these election interference techniques already happening or sort of laying the groundwork as we get closer to November?
Well, I think TikTok in America, no question, is that same vehicle. I mean, just look at the demographics of who uses it. The user base, and that again, you have all these influencers, and that's one of the interesting carve outs in this possible TikTok legislation is it's a carve out if you're a product review or you're just giving reviews on restaurants or this or that. Well, what's to prevent these folks from all of a sudden flipping a switch like they did in Taiwan And one day they're a fashion influencer. The next day they're giving all these coded messages. Don't trust the election system. Trump is going to try to take over. Trump is going to kill people. You know, things like that, which is what was happening in Taiwan. The fashion influencer suddenly was an expert in everything about elections. So TikTok is definitely going to be used here. I think Facebook. They put out a lot of hate and discontent messages in Taiwan. The U.S. can't be trusted. I found this one interesting. Don't trust U.S. pork. This is interesting. Well, China gets a lot of its pork from North Carolina and Iowa. So they get like 50% of their pork from America. So should Chinese not trust America, or should they not trust their own government, which has to import 50% of their pork? So they put out a lot of message streams that are clearly intended to create hate and discontent. And so they might there might be some success in throttling TikTok. They're just going to move to other social media forums to create this hate and discontent in America toward each other. So they'll, you know, don't trust Trump, don't trust the Republicans. Oh, you know, something, we're going to have another, you know, it was racism. No matter what the issue was, it's racism. They're definitely going to stoke and they use TikTok to create that digital twin. And oh, this was an interesting thing. In Taiwan, they noticed about 10% of the messages were tailored to the individual user. They were replaying back to an individual user a very finely tuned feed, because they knew everything about that person through their digital twin program. They knew what they liked, what they disliked, what triggered them. So positive and negative reinforcement. So transgender movement here, you know, the transgender movement here just gets reinforced with all this. People hate you. People will love you if you do go through the transition. It just, they know how to pull, just spin these people into the ceiling, because they've used big data analytics and AI to regurgitate right back to them a tailored feed. And that's also important, the tailored feed. And if it's not TikTok, it could be coming from Facebook or other ones.
I have to say, in defense of the fashion expert turned election expert, I kind of view myself as one of those. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I would never be on TikTok. But great. You have some strong animus towards TikTok fashion influencers. I'm sure the War Room posse probably shares you in that sentiment, and rightfully so. But speaking of animus and animosity, I guess, the Nigerian government also has that towards the United States. How's that for a pivot? What was it, 1,000 troops being sort of evacuated? We've spent, what, over $1 billion there, sort of a smaller scale, Afghanistan, Iraq, you name it. Another botched withdrawal, probably only get worse under Joe Biden. I'll hold you through the break, because we only got 3 minutes, but I want to let you start, and I'll interrupt you when we got to jump. But walk us through what is happening in Niger.
This is an embarrassing failure of statecraft. We have a lot of special operators in Niger to interdict the Trans-Sahara Islamic extremist activity, which has been going, it goes back thousands of years. But I think this is ultimately, though, a failure of State Department. And this is the why we have to totally reset some of these departments and agencies, like State Department. State Department has become excellent at lecturing down to these poor, pathetic countries and essentially holding foreign aid hostage unless they adapt to really important themes such as transgenderism. And it is literally, they will prioritize these issues. And so number one, you know, alternative lifestyles, transgenderism, and Niger, you better start showing that militant Antifa transgender flag or else. And these countries, this is horrible, horrible statecraft. Niger is putting it's MNGA. It's making Niger great again. They're going, look, we're being lectured on. we don't agree with this, and we're going to focus on Niger interests.
Colonel Mills, I want to hold you through the break, but I'm just curious, do you see this as just a continuation of, what is it, country number, you know, 4, 5, 6, that the Biden regime has just routinely failed, despite lecturing the Trump and MAGA movement, right, that we're the ones who are destroying democracy. We have no, right, they're the experts, trust the experts, all their, you know, degrees from the Kennedy School and where Johns Hopkins, the Strategic Institute, whatever, the one that all the Chinese money flows through up there. But isn't it, can't we rest the case? These are not the experts in the room. They don't know what they're doing. I mean, their track record is just abysmal, right? Can you sort of broaden in the context of what this is happening in?
Oh, absolutely. This is, I've seen it firsthand so many times. This is a victory of just imperious lecturing down to, and our diplomatic corps should be advocating America first, which does not mean niche obscure issues like transgenderism. You poor pathetic country, you're not green enough, and so you better make sure you're recycling everything. It is just bat guano crazy elitism lecturing down to a country that can't feed itself. These issues that we focus on make no sense, and the State Department.
And Colonel Mills, I'm gonna hold you through the break. But no, I sometimes go through the USA spending database website. The grants that we fund in these countries, I mean, I'm talking like transgender dance class. They're not making it up. They're not just talking points. It's absolutely ridiculous. Warren Posse, we'll be right back after this break. We got Colonel Mills, Bradley Devlin, Naomi Wolf, the Hoff brothers.
Hey, folks, if you watch War Room, you know we talk every day about the geopolitical and other forces driving the price of gold. There are actually a couple of reasons this is happening. Let me walk through them. The cost of goods continues to rise despite interest rate controls by the Fed. Since January 2021, cost of living is up 18%. The national debt continues to skyrocket, now significantly north of $34 trillion, causing many to worry when the House of Cards will come crashing down, and a presidential election year that will have massive implications on the future of this country. All this adds up to instability and uncertainty, and that is why so many Americans are turning to Birch Gold Group. Have you diversified your savings yet? Secure a portion of them with gold from Birch Gold Group. Secure a portion of your savings now with gold, and do it from Birch Gold. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898 and get your free information kit. You'll learn how to convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and it doesn't cost you a penny out of your pocket. With an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and tens of thousands of happy customers, you can count on Birch Gold also. Just text Bannon to 989898 and claim your free info kit to protect your savings in a time of turbulence, instability, and uncertainty. Do it today. Take action, action, action. Birch Gold Group. Text Bannon at 989898. Done. True or false? Using your tax refund to pay off credit card debt is a smart thing. Actually, that's false. DoneWithDebt.com published a brilliant strategy designed to let you keep your hard-earned tax refund and reduce or eliminate credit card debt. Most Americans owe thousands in credit card debt. In fact, Daily Mail's got a story that 56 million Americans carry credit card debt, and that debt will take years to pay off, if you pay it off at all. DoneWithDebt found that filing bankruptcy is usually not the answer. And taking out loans to pay off credit cards usually increases the debt. When you engage DoneWithDebt, their legal experts and skilled negotiators take on the credit card companies for you. Their winning strategies are designed with one goal: solve your debt situation quickly and permanently. First things first, chat with a DoneWithDebt strategist and explore your solutions. Some debt fighting strategies are time sensitive, so you'll need to move quickly. For a free consultation, visit DoneWithDebt.com. That's DoneWithDebt.com. progressivecorporations.com. Do it today. Take action.
Are you tired of progressive corporations and exhausted trying to keep up with all the virtue signaling when you're simply trying to buy products? Progressive Corporate America continues to push messaging that further alienates conservative Americans, all while eroding the future of the American dream. It's prominent all over the country. Companies like Starbucks strong-arming their customers to support abortion. Financial services like PayPal canceling customers for their political views. Makeup companies like Maybelline making a mockery of women by supporting transgender models. And beer companies like Bud Light forcing gender ideology on you when all you want is to enjoy a cold beer. Thankfully, we don't have to fund these companies any longer with our hard-earned dollars. With Public Square, we now have a solution. It's simple. Join the movement of millions of patriotic Americans who love truth, our country, and our Constitution at publicsq.com. That's publicsq.com. Public Square is an app and website where you can get connected to tens of thousands of businesses from all different industries that share your value for life, family, and freedom. Whether you're looking to buy coffee, find a new athletic clothing that knows what a woman is, and shop for clean skincare, or simply find a new restaurant in your community that won't lecture you about your political views, publicsq.com is your resource. Public Square also offers discounts to many high-quality businesses on the platform so that you can actually receive incentive for spending money with companies that don't hate you. Public Square is free to join as a consumer or a business owner, and you can get started today at publicsq.com. Remember, either as a consumer or a business owner, download the app now. That's publicsq.com, publicsq.com.
All this nonsense, all this spin, they can't handle the truth.
War Room Battleground with Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome back to the War Room. We still got Colonel Mills with us. Now, Colonel Mills, I got to let you go. We got a bunch more news to get through. But just real quick, where should the War Room posse kind of be looking when it comes to the news with Niger and everything happening there? Do you think this is going to be another kind of Afghanistan-esque failure, or where do you think the trajectory is leading?
Well, we have 1,000 troops, essentially. Now, somebody wrote an email to one of our Congress members saying they were essentially... Well, he used the word, I don't think he literally meant hostage, but essentially they were locked down. So this is not a good situation from the security, but also just a waste of resources, because we have a 1,000 troops takes a lot of support to make sure they're fed, they're resourced. We have extra security to move in case something like Benghazi happens. This is a very bad situation, so watch this space. Ultimately, this is a failure of State Department and just an absolutely lame State Department that likes to lecture, not actually do anything.
Colonel Mills, as always, thank you for joining us. If people want to follow you, get the charts, get the Substack. Where can they go to do all that?
Thank you so much, Natalie. Yes, Colonel Rhett John, Colonel R.E.T. John, Substack, Getter, and Truth, and the two books, War Against the Deep State and The Nation Will Follow. On my store, use code War Room, and those are autographed copies. First book forward by Stephen K. Bannon. Thank you so much, Natalie.
I think I know that guy. Colonel Mills, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Natalie. Take care.
We got Dr. Naomi Wolf joining us, too. Speaking of information warfare, you know, her team over at the Daily Cloud, they're always charging ahead, exposing the truly information warfare that the big pharma medical industrial complex have been waging on us when it comes to a lot of things, but particularly the COVID-19 vaccine, gene therapy, whatever you want to call it. But Dr. Wolf, I hear you have some new numbers when it comes to, wow, no coincidence there, fertility and reproductive issues when it comes to the COVID-19 vaccine, if you want to walk us through those figures.
Sure. I mean, it's heartbreaking, but it's also so important. This is the first large-scale study, large-scale analysis using government data, government medical data that proves what, as you know, I've been trying to sound the alarm for since June of 2021, And it's a very important summary by my colleague Amy Kelly of Daily Clout, the head of the War Room Daily Clout FISA Documents Research Volunteers Analysis Project. And so basically what I'm sad to say the headline is that there are massive now fertility harms, both for women and for men, subsequent to receiving the mRNA injection. So this is exactly what the group found. So Amy Kelly worked with a Canadian group that's very well respected called Canadian COVID Care Alliance. And Canadian COVID Care Alliance obtained data starting in January 2015, right up until December 2022, from the Ontario Health Insurance Plan billing code data via two Freedom of Information requests. So the reason that's important to know is that Canada has socialized medicine. So by making these FOIA requests, this group got a massive tranche of primary documentation of real Canadians, real non-emergency healthcare diagnoses and insurance claims, obviously with the privacy redacted. So this is just the best possible data you can get. So what they found is that there was a particular emphasis on female reproductive health and female cancer insurance billing codes. They found that menstrual disorders codes had trended down from 2015 to 2019, but in 2021, which is, of course, when COVID vaccines became widely pushed on the Canadian population, that changed. And that post-2021, the billing data for these insurers showed a massive bump upwards for fertility problems. There was a code for menopausal and postmenopausal bleeding, which, again, I've been trying to call everyone's attention to as a serious danger sign. It increased in 2021 and 2022 once much of the Canadian population had been vaccinated for COVID. Menstrual disorders as a whole of women of all ages increased in 2021 and 2022. So did female infertility, unsurprisingly. Also, there was a code 629, not to get graphic, it's other disorders of female genital organs. This showed a marked increase in diagnoses in 2021 and 2022. Now it gets super sad. Missed, incomplete, or complete abortion, meaning miscarriages or spontaneous abortion, notably escalated after the widespread uptake of COVID vaccines, the code 634, which is when the baby dies, basically in utero. Not only did women's fertility and babies get damaged appreciably, but male fertility suffered as well. And I'm just about done with this summary. Live births in 2021 through 2022 remain lower than up until 2020. And lastly, the code 606, which codes an insurance for male infertility, oligospermia, which is low sperm count, and azoospermia, absence of sperm altogether in the semen, showed a notable increase in both 2021 and 2022, way up from 2019. So that's it, Natalie. We have the smoking gun at last, unfortunately, the first major, you know, tens of thousands of Canadians, their real insurance data, real billing codes really show postmenopausal bleeding, menstrual dysregulation, menstrual disorders, dying babies, dead babies, spontaneous abortions, miscarriages, no sperm in the semen, which is a condition I've literally never heard of before, impaired sperm count, horrible, horrible harms to fertility starting in 2021 when the vaccines rolled out on the population.
Truly outstanding. People have got to read the paper, I'm sure, the analysis. It's so much to take in, written out. I'm sure it'll still be a lot to take in, but people, I'm sure, will want to drill down and see all the numbers. I've got to let you go, but before you give us your socials, if people want to read the story, what's the best way to access it?
Right. It's up on dailyclout.io, Amy Kelly's fantastic summary, crunching down this very detailed set of presentations by Canadian COVID Care Alliance. And you can also support us on dailyclout.io. Please support the War Room Daily Clout experts who are doing this incredible life-saving work. And this is really a clip and a link that you need to send to your loved ones, to your daughters, your granddaughters, your sons, and to your providers and to your representatives. It's it sadly, you know, the evidence is finally in, and it's catastrophic. Thank you for supporting us and helping us. And thank you, War Room.
Of course. And if people want to follow you, where can they go to do that?
Sorry, I'm on Outspoken on Substack.
You saved the best for last.
That's very kind. I'm on Outspoken and on Substack, and I'll be interviewing Amy Kelly later today, so I'll put that interview up on my Substack, Outspoken, and also on dailycloud.io. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Dr. Wolf.
Thank you.
War Room Posse, we're really covering all the topics today. We got Bradley Devlin from the American Conservative. Now, last time I had you on, I'm having a little bit of deja vu. We were talking about Speaker Johnson and how he's failing. The only question is, will Democrats bail him out? But now you're on, I think we want to talk a little bit more about his Senate counterpart, Mitch McConnell, when he's not glitching out. He's more concerned with the borders of Ukraine, which I guess is maybe a prerequisite for working on Capitol Hill nowadays. There's a great story coming, just to give a quick shout out to the DC Young Republicans, Kingsley Cortez, John Wilson. They have a great leadership committee. They exposed how one of the top staffers in Speaker Mike Johnson's office, I believe, wanted to retract her dues because the club was bold and endorsed President Trump. And she threw a hissy fit via email and said, I don't want to be affiliated with this club. That shows you what we're up against in the swamp. Shout out to Kingsley and John. They're great. But Bradley, if you could sort of walk us through some of the recent remarks, I'll let you have the audience get triggered. You can say them. But what Mitch McConnell is saying with regards to Russia and Ukraine, and just more broadly, how the swamp is just in action.
Yeah, Natalie, last time we spoke that we were thinking about what is going to happen with the motion to vacate. We think Dems are going to push this foreign aid package across the line, and they did over the weekend. Now it turns to the Senate, where the deliberation process is going to be extremely limited as well. You know, senators only have an hour to speak. Only a few of them are going to be able to delay these procedural and ultimately the final vote on this package. And Mitch McConnell gets what he wants in the end. I mean, it's just disgusting how the Inside the Beltway press corps, Politico and Punchbowl, who rely on access to leadership to make to pay the bills, they're just salivating over Mitch McConnell and his genius. But in reality, I mean, obviously these Inside the Beltway publications don't want conservatives to win. So they're happy to support Mitch McConnell in his efforts to undermine everything that Republicans stand for just before the November election and side with the deep state and the establishment. And so Mitch McConnell, they're trying to portray him as this big winner. In reality, we have a lame duck in the Senate. And because of his incompetence in pushing all of this on to Speaker Mike Johnson, which Mike Johnson wears a lot of the blame, but he was under a lot of pressure. Now we essentially have two lame duck leaders. You know, if I was in the House or if I was in the Senate, I'd say, okay, enough of this. We are closed for business until the election. We're going to have a referendum on all of these things. And number one in that referendum is the border, and we have been unable to do anything about it because Mitch McConnell has undermined that process at every turn, and Johnson has decided to go with Ukraine and Israel aid rather than securing the southern border. So it is really disgusting to just see the establishment in action, just how clear they are about hating the priorities of the MAGA movement, of Republican voters, of the War Room posse. It's just so brazen. And then they take a victory lap about it. Ah, aren't I so great at this whole democracy thing when I don't listen to my constituents? Yeah, I know, I'm pretty awesome. And you don't hate the media and you don't hate these representatives enough, Natalie. It's hard to believe, but you don't.
I don't know. I feel like I may hate them enough. I think I moved out of D.C. because of my animosity towards them. But I'm just curious, and you may not, just your hypothesis on this, but do you think that Speaker Johnson was always sort of captured by this class? Or do you think when he ascended to that role, whether it was, you know, the closed door CIA briefings on what's going on in Ukraine, all that intel stuff, the, you know, just proximity to power kind of turned him into a, you know, McConnell-esque figure. Do you think we ever really had a chance with Speaker Johnson?
It's a good question. I think right now I'm holding out hope for sort of a conservative reversion to for Mike Johnson, if, let's say, conservatives gain ground in the House come 2025. I'm holding out hope for that. It's a slim hope. But yeah, I mean, he's been very open and honest about the reason he's changed his mind is because they go to the SCIF and basically the intelligence agencies bully people into doing what they want. Oh, you want warrants for American citizens? Well, guess what? You're going to be responsible for the next 9/11. And Mike Johnson is a good and decent and faithful human being. And he thinks, wow, that's a terrible thing. So it's almost like we have someone who's too decent for the job inside the job. And he gets run over for it, which is a really, really sad thing. I think what it really speaks to, though, is just how different the priorities are, even amongst the like kind of red meat coated Republicans in Congress. Like their number one priority was getting aid to Israel. Like that's not any commentary on the Israel lobby or anything like that. It's just they were all against Ukraine aid. And then all of a sudden, Israel's brought into the equation. And they decide to vote for a rule that would ensure a bulk of this $95 billion, $60 billion, right, is going to go to Ukraine. And, oh, we'll deal with that because $26 billion is going to go to Israel and we won't touch the border, right? Like, that was an acceptable trade-off. Meanwhile, I think the American people and conservative voters see that Israel is doing just a fine job prosecuting this war, right? They're not running out of weapons. They have made 100 different arms purchases from the United States since October 7th. And they don't seem limited in being able to wage that war. So, you know, what's the point? And it shows that their priorities are often with prosecuting unpopular wars, even for American allies, right? Ukraine is not an ally of America in any meaningful sense, while Israel is. But they're more interested in war and borders of other countries than they are our own. And that's really, really telling about where we're at as the Republican Party. You know, Bradley, they want to get rid of the MAGA movement.
We're coming up against the end of the show, so I got to cut you off. We'll have you back. But if people want to follow you, get the American Conservative, where can they go to read it and follow you?
Yeah, go to theamericanconservative.com. We'll be covering this as we have been throughout the past few weeks. And go to my Twitter, at Bradley Devlin. You'll see my stories posted there as... you know, well as some, we're going to poke some fun at some people on there.
We love that. Bradley, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And Warren Posse, while you're going to follow him, maybe go to birchgold.com/Bannon to get the latest installment of the end of the dollar empire. We don't trust the experts. We don't trust the elites, especially when it comes to what they're doing with the Fed and anything financial. Gold has always been a hedge, as Steve always says, and you got to go to birchgold.com/Bannon. Maybe while you're at it, you go to My Patriot Supply, too. Joe Reek and the team, they can get you set up. They have wonderful financing deals available. I'm very into the whole prepping stuff. I have been ever since I was a kid. Probably explains how I ended up here in the war room, and that's why I love My Patriot Supply, so you got to go check them out. I also love the Gateway Pundit and the work that the Hoff brothers do. We got Jim Hoff joining us to really what is, I think, you guys called it the kind of sleeper issue of the 2024 election. Some great work coming from True the Vote showing, what is it, 1.7, I believe, million new shady voter registrations in Texas. Can you walk the audience through the latest story on the Gateway Pundit?
Yeah, Natalie, thank you for having me on. This is the most important issue in my mind for 2024. We have to stop these bogus registrations. Or Democrats come out on election night and you're wondering, where did they find those 500,000 extra votes? In 2020, we saw that the polling stations were all empty in the inner cities during the day. But then at night, they suddenly have, late night ballot drops and they overcome Trump's tremendous lead in all the swing states. And then Joe Biden's declared the winner. What we've been working on since the 2020 election at the Gateway Pundit is voter rolls and cleaning up the voter rolls. If Democrats don't have the millions upon millions of extra names on these rolls, they cannot win. That's my theory. That's my hypothesis. And so what happened in Texas, which of course is a state that Democrats are shooting for, a report came out that 1.2 million ballots were registered that only had the last four digits of the Social Security number on these registrations. And that number may be high. What we found at Gateway Pundit is 1.7 million registrations were clocked for Texas in 2020. And so far, there's been 1.2 million since 2020 to 2024 of new registrations in Texas. Think of that, 1.2 million registrations. We don't know who these people are. What this goes back to, Natalie, and I spoke to you about this earlier, a few months ago, and that was our story on GBI strategies. Democrats are pumping millions of dollars into these get out the vote agencies, these leftist organizations to register voters. But what we found was that they were actually filling out fraudulent registrations in Michigan, 8,000 to 10,000 in just one county. And we know now, Natalie, and I wish I had more time to explain this, but we know now that there are these groups in every state. The GBI changed its name around the country when it was operating in all of the battleground states. We don't even know some of the names that they use. We know that they hide themselves. They're shell groups. We also know that in Michigan, they were tied to Empower Michigan, which had the same address as the Democrat Party in the state. So this is how Democrats are registering all of these, I believe, phony registrations. We found that in Michigan in 2020. And this is what their strategy is. They're running a guy who can't even speak. They can't put two sentences together. Can you imagine if Joe Biden ran in 2000 or in 1996 or 1998, he would have been shellacked. But now today, all of a sudden, Democrats have this very unpopular candidate who doesn't even go campaign, who can barely speak. That should be the giveaway, that the fix is in. The Democrats are ready to steal this election also. And I think the one thing we must do is to crack down on these voter rolls and these fake voter registrations. And we know now some of the groups that are doing this, and we know that in Texas, they better watch out, because if they get 1 million or 2 million of these extra registrations, that's enough to flip the state. So people need to be aware of this. I think it's frightening, and I wish I would have done a better job explaining this, but that's what's going on with the Democrats today. And we see that they've tripled or quadrupled the amount of funding into these groups that do the get out the vote.
And Jim, we're coming up against the end of show, so I've got to cut in. But if people want to follow you, where can they go to do that? And if they want to read the story, how do they get it?
Yeah, thank you, Natalie. It's on thegatewaypundit.com. It's one of our top stories today. It's getting a lot of traction.
I'm not surprised. And you did a great job explaining it. They intentionally make
you.
It hard.
There's a lot there.
Thank you, Jim. Yeah. You have a good one. Yeah, there's always a lot there. You know where else there is always a lot? Public Square, you got to go there. The Patriot Parallel Economy, how's that for a segue? PublicSquare.com, support businesses that don't hate you, that actually love this country and that are not involved in all this neo-Marxist, anti-America hatred. It's Natalie Winters and Steve Bannon. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Have a good one.
Tax Network USA is pure war room for solving your IRS tax problems. If you owe back taxes, COVID was your lucky break. Tax court shut down, the IRS paused, and you skated. Well, baby, that party is over. The IRS is adding 20,000 enforcement agents, basically tax cops. Honest, hardworking Americans like you are in the crosshairs. Rich people have tax lawyers, and you don't. You'll pay up, plus interest and penalties. Tax USA Network has brilliant war room type strategies designed to solve your IRS problem quickly in your favor. Never call the IRS yourself. You're at their mercy. You could sit on hold for 6 to 8 hours and get hung up on. Grind you for all your back taxes plus interest and penalties. Tax Network USA attorneys have a preferred direct line to the IRS. They know which agents to talk to and who to avoid. If they get difficult agent, hey, they just call a different agent. Tax Network USA learned of a limited time special IRS offer. The IRS is willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. Find out if you qualify before it's too late. Schedule your free confidential consultation with Tax Network USA. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. Think about that. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. They offer a best-in-class client satisfaction guarantee. Now call 1-800 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000. And visit Tax Network USA. That's TNUSA.com/Bannon. TNUSA.com/Bannon. Make sure you take action on this today. This IRS grind is only going to get much worse.
Room at checkout to save 67%. Do it again. War Room Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. You need, if you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.